This is Classical 105.9 FM, WQXR. Welcome to our China in New York Festival. This week on the station, we're welcoming the Year of the Dragon with a look at how Chinese-born artists are helping to shape the future of classical music in New York and around the world. I'm David Garland, welcoming Liang Wang. He's the principal oboist of the New York Philharmonic. He was born in 1980. He's a young man, but greatly experienced. He has worked for many, many American orchestras, most of them for just a few days.
Yes.
But the New York Philharmonic for a couple of years now. The story behind the brief employment at the other orchestras is not a matter of your controversy or your playing, but rather you have been moving quickly from one post to another, rising very quickly. You came to the New York Philharmonic as principal oboist at a young age. Very impressive, and that is because your playing is so impressive. How did you come to play the oboe? Tell us that story.
My uncle was a professional oboe player. He's not anymore. Actually, he sells oboes now. He has his own shop in Beijing. He sells all kinds of wind instruments. And Loray oboe, which is the oboe I've been playing on.
Loray,
this is a particular brand I play on. It's a beautiful sound. It's a very complex sounding instrument that I always played on. And he took me to a concert, and he was playing the Swan Lake and the beautiful tune that everybody knows in the beginning. I thought oboe was a soulful instrument, and the sound was so penetrating in the best sense. It's very soulful, and so I fell in love with the oboe, the sound of the oboe. And I begged him to teach me how to play, so that was the beginning.
I'm speaking with Liang Wang, principal oboist of the New York Philharmonic. I'm David Garland here on WQXR. It's a notoriously difficult instrument. Was it difficult for you?
Yes, it was. I thought it required a lot of practicing, and also with the reeds, you know, sometimes, you know, you have a headache over cracked reeds. And so it's always something about the oboe. It's very, very high maintenance.
Mm.
So therefore, required every bit of my attention.
How old were you when you went to that concert and decided to study oboe?
I was seven years old. Actually, I was going to play either the cello or the violin, and they couldn't find one. And actually, my uncle was a oboe player.
Hmm.
So after the concert, I was more, you know, very sure that I wanted to be an oboe player.
Let's take a listen to one of your performances with the Philharmonic. I'm David Garland, speaking with oboist Liang Wang here on WQXR. When you chose to study oboe, was that in any way controversial? Was it was there some sense that studying Western music was not appropriate?
Not at all, actually. I was fortunate enough after the Cultural Revolution, I think it hits my parents' generation very hard. And that's one of the reasons my mother could not really pursue her musical career because of Cultural Revolution, and pursuing a Western musical career wasn't appropriate. But during the time I was growing up, everybody wanted to learn. That the people who had enough, you know, financial support or just a free instrument, basically, or a finger chart, then people was very hungry to learn Western music.
You say that Qingdao was very influenced by the
Germans.
The Germans who lived there at a time, and the Western culture has an influence there. Does traditional Chinese culture have an influence?
Absolutely. And my grandfather, I remember he always tucked me in to bed, and I would listen to Peking opera. And most of the times, I really did not understand what he was talking about. But there's certain drama in music, I think, translates in every form of music. That's the thing that I admired. And he was, you know, he could sing those tunes at any given moment.
Let's hear some of that. This is a Peking opera melody called Flowing Water.
We had very little, you know, we didn't have CDs, anything like that. I mean, you know, very few people had CDs. So I had some tapes that my uncle had when he was in school. He was a very remarkable guy. I mean, he learned the oboe from a finger chart. I mean, he didn't have an actual teacher. He played the oboe based on how much he loved music. And he kept going, and he was able to teach me in the beginning. So I heard some tapes from Eastern Germany. I think that was easier to get back then. It was a communist connection there.
I'm David Garland, speaking with oboist Liang Wang here on WQXR. Was Western classical music music you perceived to be sort of foreign, or did you feel that it was really part of the culture you were growing up in?
I was extremely at home when I picked up the oboe and started playing certain type of music, like, you know, Haydn and Mozart, and it's, of course, there are things that I just didn't know, that, you know, I know much more now hopefully, but it seemed somewhat natural, because music always has been a spoken language that wasn't foreign.
You could understand
I
it.
Could understand it. I mean, if something that described certain musical phrases, described a very sad moment or a very happy moment or a very ambiguous moment, just by listening to a lot of music, I think gives you that type of ability.
You mentioned hearing Swan Lake and the oboe solo and that being an influence on your beginning to study the oboe. What other music was a particular influence on you?
I loved Haydn. I mean, I think the first concerto I played was Haydn Oboe Concerto in C major. I remembered the first time I heard the tape of it, I thought, my God, this is so exciting. The particular person who played it, Heintink, that I thought was had such a flair, and had so much personality, and so musical. So I would say that was a piece of music that was very influential on me. It's elegant, and it also there's tremendous amount of emotions packed into a very short period of time. So the amount of information that's in the music was so much that I, you know, so I have to hear over again in order to know or capture a bit of it. You know, if I play it today, I'm sure I would still be hearing different things. Thank you.
What role did the Curtis Institute play in your decision to come to the United States?
Well, I knew Curtis was is almost the temple of oboe gods, you know. I mean, that's basically, there's not one single oboe player, single American oboe player that's sits in the important position that's not coming from Curtis. So it has a very strong tradition, you know, there's such a thing called the American School of Oboe Playing.
Can that be traced back to one teacher?
Yes. His name was Marcel Tabito, came from Paris. He basically wanted to create a sound on the oboe that's not too penetrating, but at the same time it could be very easily nuanced.
So you say there are sort of two schools of oboe playing. What can you tell us about that?
Back then, there were two schools, the French school of oboe playing and the German school of oboe playing. The German school of oboe playing was, they had a very dark sound, and it was basically short and long. But in the articulation, and there were a shortage of vocabularies, I think. And then the French, the sound was very thin, but they were able to do many phenomenal shading and shaping and nuanced phrases, but the sound was a bit hard to listen to.
My understanding is that nuance on the oboe is quite a challenge.
Absolutely. And I think many oboe players, that we try to achieve that, actually, because it's so hard to do, so many things that gets involved, your air, your embouchure, how your lips are formed, your teeth, and most importantly, I mean, it's your the idea of the sound that you're trying to achieve. So to me, that's is a very sophisticated process. I think everybody, especially on the oboe, I think, is everybody's sound is so personal. And, you know, if I give anybody, you know, my setup, they will sound very different. It certainly doesn't play by itself. It's your sound. It's the sound that you hear it before you play. Is really all those hours of practicing is really support what you can achieve ideally on the instrument. And, you know, I believe any musical instrument is a personal voice. And I, you know, since, you know, I was listening to singing so much when I was younger, still, my girlfriend is an opera singer. She's a soprano. So singing is very important. And I think, you know, if you can play your instrument like you were singing, it's most natural, I think.
Mm-hmm. To have that kind of immediate...
Yeah, immediate.
...sense.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm speaking with Liang Wang, principal oboist of the New York Philharmonic. I'm David Garland here on WQXR. What is your practice schedule like these days? What's your daily routine?
Well, I try to get up as early as I can because, you know, even if I go to bed very... very late, I always get up early because I don't want to miss out on anything. I usually get up, I start by making a couple reeds. As you know, oboe players are very insane with their reeds, and there's usually a stereotype for oboe players. They're usually very neurotic and reasonable, and usually it's the problem in the orchestra. But you know, I try to do it daily, so I always have something that I can rely on, because the oboe reeds is so unpredictable. So you know, I try to achieve certain amount of level by being very precise and disciplined.
Have you ever made a reed and thought, oh, this is the best I've ever made? I want this to last my lifetime.
You know, this is one thing that I can tell any oboe players in the world is that you forget about that. You know, uh-huh. You will never have an ideal reed. Once you know that, you know, you have to make peace with that idea. And once you do that, is you try to use your wind, your body, and your thoughts to make up for those, you know, reeds that's not so good. And actually, Tapito, who's the guy that started the American School of Oboe Playing, that he said, well, everybody knows how to play on a good reed. Of course, I mean, he's absolutely right. I mean, what are you going to do if you happen to have a bad reed on a certain concert? I mean, are you going to tell the audience that, well, sorry, guys, you know, my reed is not working? So long story short, I mean, I think you just have to learn how to do anything possible to make a beautiful sound.
So you've begun your day making reeds, and then what happens next?
And usually I go to rehearsal. Usually it's a 10 o'clock rehearsal, 10 to 12:30. So I would, practice with the orchestra. In the afternoon, I teach at times.
Oh, you do?
And yeah, I teach. I teach at NYU and Manhattan School of Music. Fortunately, I have a studio in my apartment, which has a lot of different tools I would require for a lesson.
I'm speaking with Liang Wang, principal oboist of the New York Philharmonic. I'm David Garland here on WQXR. After studying in the United States, you had offers from a variety of orchestras after going on auditions. You took one position, quickly advanced to another because you were, I guess, going on other auditions looking for challenges and the
right.
best way to exploit your talent. And you moved quickly from one orchestra to another. But once you came to the New York Philharmonic and became principal oboist, which is the level at which you joined the orchestra, you've stayed here for a few years. What is the influence of the New York Philharmonic on your life? What do you love about it?
Well, the New York Philharmonic, to me, is everything. I think it's, you know, when I go to work, take tremendous amount of pride in what you do. And I think everybody in the New York Philharmonic, we take a tremendous amount of pride in what we do on a daily basis. And the concert at a very, very high level, there are times you would hear concerts that that you're just, you know, you're sitting in the middle of it, you're thinking, wow, I can't believe that I'm actually part of this, because it's, the sound of it is so overwhelming. The emotions are so intense. It's almost like you are swimming in the ocean of sound that has has different waves going by you every second. I mean, that's something money can buy. There's something the prestige can buy. There's something that's just this truly you feel good about what you do. I think that's very important to me. And the New York Philharmonic provides that for me. I feel good about what I do. I think that's just absolutely a very basic satisfaction that I have for myself.
Interesting that in the midst of being able to perform your part well, blend well with the people immediately around you, follow the conductor, you are also involved in the emotions of the
absolutely,
music.
Absolutely. I mean, I think every symphony is like is a story. Everybody is on the journey of the story, and there are certain lines that are read differently. It's like a Shakespeare play. You know, that's why people still go to live performances, because every time is different. And at times you can't even describe why it's different, but it makes you feel differently. Maybe it's because incredible, horn player Phil Myers played certain things, or new fantastic clarinet player, Ricardo Morales played something, or Judy LeClaire, or, Glenn, and, all those incredible people. And, of course, the person who sits next to me, Robert Langevin, who I have a musical conversation on a daily basis. And it is absolutely incredible.
A musical conversation between wind players in the New York Philharmonic. Here on WQXR, I'm speaking with the principal oboist of the New York Philharmonic, Liang Wang. I'm David Garland. Is there room for spontaneity in an orchestra player?
Most definitely. I think that's what we try to do. I think the best orchestras is basically a bigger version of a chamber group that you listen to each other at all times. Of course, you know, you have the conductors and, you know, they shape things, and I think we have to listen to each other. For instance, I would have a line that comes before the flute, and at certain times it's not just like when my solo finishes and that's the end of it, but sometimes it's a question that I will be asking and that the flute answers, or somebody else has certain things to say that I'm the guy that answers them or sort of continue the conversation. So to me, that's spontaneity. I mean, sort of that's why we're doing this thing on stage. Mm.
Yeah. Are there any classical pieces you particularly love? They may or may not involve the oboe.
Well, I love Chopin etudes. Actually, I have this CD of Horowitz playing. It's complete Chopin and the concerti as well. And also, of course, Rubinstein, you know, I have his complete collection of his playing as well. And I love both guys. I mean, I thought Brahms, Piano Concerto number 1 and number 2, which, well, of course, oboe plays a part in that too, but, you know, piano is the main character there. And I think it's just absolutely a masterpiece.
I'm David Garland, speaking with the principal oboist of the New York Philharmonic, Liang Wang. How has living in New York City influenced your playing?
I think my playing has changed, but I think because of the diversity of New York City and the drama of New York City, I would say just it inspires me more, and I can do everything more. I can be more dynamic, I would say. And I'm trying to be that way.
Where do you go for Chinese food in the city?
Wow. The best Chinese food, I think, is my mother's cooking. She cooks this phenomenal dumplings. Actually, it's quite famous now, popular and famous among musicians, because I would, you know, bring my, you know, my friends over. And they would taste my mother's dumplings, and she does everything from scratch. I mean, she would buy, you know, the ingredients from, you know, either from Chinatown or Whole Foods, all the way from pork dumplings to vegetable dumplings or fish dumplings, fish filet. Then she would be actually blend them with certain vegetables. I mean, it's quite tasty. But besides my mother's cooking, I go to 56 between 7th and 8th. It's called Sichuan Gourmet, because it's pretty close to Lincoln Center. I love Sichuan food because it's very spicy and it's very exciting to, you know, to eat. And I like my food to be spicy and to be dramatic, and, you know, it can be sweet, but I don't like bland food, you know. And in my taste in music, too. I don't like music that sort of doesn't, you know, it's sort of in mid of the road. I mean, I forgot who said that. In mid of the road is the road to nowhere.
I've been speaking with Liang Wang, principal oboist of the New York Philharmonic. Thank you for joining me here on WQXR.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for joining us this evening on WQXR as we celebrate the Year of the Dragon during our week-long China in New York Festival. See our festival schedule at WQXR.org.